And good morning, everybody. Everybody's having a great morning so far. I don't know what your normal wake-up time is. Maybe you're early to bed, early to rise. I don't know. Let's give everybody a couple of minutes here to get popped on. Looking for my cough drops. I can't find them now. That may make for a long morning. Found them. Hope everybody's doing good. I know it's cold out there. And I want to make sure everybody's staying warm, right? Or everybody should be wanting to stay warm. And if you want to get out in this, you can. I'm going to stay inside as much as I possibly can right now and enjoy the warmth. But thank y'all so much for hopping on this morning. I see a couple of you hopping in. We're delighted to have you. And we are looking forward to a great day today. I'm thankful for the love of God. I'm thankful for the mercy of God and thankful for the privilege to be a part of the kingdom of God. I do want to make just another quick announcement. Not typically I say announcement, notification, announcement, reminder, whatever you want to call it. But coming up in February, it is getting close. February the 14th and 15th. So less than a month away. Is our annual All About Us marriage seminar. And if you have not made plans to be a part of that, please make plans now. And we want to see you at this event. And we are excited about it. We're going to have a great time. It is always a tremendous event. And then it carries over into Sunday. It is our family weekend. And ironically enough, this year we have our family going to be with us. My wife's brother and his wife, Melissa, Jeremy and Melissa Allen, are going to be our guests this year and be speaking to us at All About Us on Friday night and Saturday morning, and then staying over and preaching for us on Sunday afternoon. So we're looking forward to a great time with that. If you have not made plans to be a part of that, please make plans to attend. If you are local, if you're not local and you want to drive in, there is a special rate on the rooms. It's at Holiday Inn here in Quincy. We've been making sure that the post is active, or that it's constantly being put back into your news feed. Or that's our hope anyway. That's what we're trying to do. So that way you can get connected to the event. If you want to attend it, there is a form that is in the event on Facebook that you are able to go in and fill out. It gives you the schedule. It shows you everything that's going on and the timeline and the cost and all of those things. So we hope that you can join with us and hope to see you there. But anyway, we're going to get started this morning. I've had a couple of you shoot me some text messages and just kind of making some, you know, comments, general comments along the way concerning some of the content that we've been able to produce in these devotions. And I know that there's several people that have said, I absolutely love that you're doing this and would love for you to do it all the time. Now, here's my dilemma with that. Is that if I do it all the time, then that means that I've got to get up every single morning and do this. Get up so early and do this. However, I may not do it every day, but we are going to be continuing our weekly podcast coming up after this is completed, which is typically on Sunday nights. Those will come on And then they are usually posted by Monday morning. But thanks to technology, we may be able to, now that we've kind of ironed out some of the details and some of the process here, the technical side of it, we're able to potentially make it where it's more of a live setting like this for the podcast instead of a recorded setting. So a live setting is a lot less work on the back end, but on the front side, it's a little more work. But either way, it will continue in an abbreviated fashion. While it won't be every day, it will be every week. And so I've enjoyed it every day. Please continue. And there are some that do that. Pastor Ken Gurley does it every morning. And tremendous content. Absolutely amazing content. And so if you want something every morning, I would point you in his direction. But just with my job and the church work and everything, it just kind of every day is a little more than I physically probably need to try and take on. But it will be every week. There will be a continued every week Sunday nights that there will be a new episode coming up. And that will actually be the actual Tab Talk. The podcast itself will be airing on Sunday nights and just for that short period of time. And then it will be available in the same fashion that these are. It will be available in both on our Facebook page, our church Facebook page, and our church YouTube page, our YouTube channel. Excuse me, I'm old. Our YouTube channel, as well as our podcast channel, both on Apple Podcast and Spotify. So check us out. Go out there, take a look, and connect with us, and help us, and be a part of it. But today we're going to get started. Spend enough time here talking at the beginning. By the way, Jeff, Mary Sue, good to see y'all on here today. I talked to Benny Allen last night. And so we were chatting last night and telling old stories, reminiscent of the good old days. And for those that don't know, Brother Jeff and Sister Mary Sue Hollis attended a church in Thayer, Missouri that my dad pastored back when I was a kid. And the gentleman that I referenced, Benny, was another one of those that attended that church. And so we talked to them quite often. And so thankful that they're joining with us today. Of course, Mom's here, Sister Jackson, Sister Margaret, and Jennifer, Sister Carol. Thank you all so much for joining every day. I appreciate your faithfulness. I want you to look with me in the book of Job. There's a phrase of scripture that we're going to unpack this morning. Just a phrase from the book of Job, the 16th chapter, and verse number 17. Job 16 and 17, there is a phrase in there that's just four words. And on the surface, one would think that it is an impossibility that Job would say, surely Job is telling a lie when he says, my prayer is pure. That's not the whole verse, I understand that, but just this phrase is what I want to bring to light this morning. Job says, my prayer is pure. Now, I've never been completely holy. I've never been 100% righteous. I have never been 100% pure. There is a level of humanity that is in all of us that limits our ability to personally be completely and totally pure. So how is it then that Job could say that his prayer was pure? And so understanding that while I may never obtain a level of perfection here in this life, it is possible for my prayer to become purified. And we're going to talk about that this morning. In the old translations of Scripture, there's a term, there's a word in there, the word apothecary. I remember hearing that word as a kid, and it took me a long time to figure out what they were actually saying. But there was a drugstore, and if I remember right, some of you Thayer folks may remember this. I think it was in Mammoth Spring, but it was like, it was something, and I'm going to use just a random name because I don't remember, but it was like Brown Drug and Apothecary. And I was like, what is Apothecary? What in the world is, I mean, you know, what are you carrying? What is an apotha? You know, as a kid, I'm trying to figure out what this is. What is an apothecary? But in scripture and in history, the art or the role of the apothecary was an extremely valuable role. It had an extremely important role in the within the workings and the production for the sacrifices in the temple and for the prayer that was made in the temple in the wilderness. But there was this art to the apothecary, and their job was to prepare the incense and the anointing oil. Their job was to simply get ready and make the oil that would be used in the moment of anointing, much like when the prophet would go and he would anoint the next king. Just using David, for instance, that when the prophet came to David and anointed him with oil to be the next king, he actually, David knelt before him and he poured oil down the back of his, you know, on the back of his head and down his neck. Cooper Drug. Thank you, Brother Jeff. I knew somebody might remember it. I think it was Cooper Drug. But it was like Cooper Drug and Apothecary for back in the 80s and maybe even into the 90s, and I didn't understand what the word was. But when David was anointed king, that was the act that they would pour the oil. And if you look at even like Aaron, the Bible says and references in Psalms, was it David references in Psalm 133, the 133rd Psalm, when he says how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, because it's as the oil that flowed down over Aaron's beard. And I paraphrase that. But unity and the oil that flowed down over Aaron's beard are connected in the fact that that oil that flowed down over Aaron's beard had been uniquely developed. It had been put together. Every part of the oil had been selected by the apothecary. Okay, so they would select the frankincense. They would take this, you know, the frankincense, and I don't know what all was in that. There's a passage in, I think it's in Exodus, if I remember right, where it breaks down, you know, how much of this and how many, you know, how much of that was in that oil, each particular ingredient. But the apothecary's job was to make sure that all of these pieces, all of these ingredients for the incense and for the anointing oil was selected, compounded, and crafted in such a way that the aroma would be pleasing to God. That was the goal, was so that the aroma would be pleasing to God, because the oil would go onto the what? It would go onto the under the fire, it would go into the laver, it would go into it was on the priest's hands, and it would, the fragrance of the oil would be caught up into the flames, and there that flame with that fragrance, that incense would be a sweet smelling savor, some scriptures would say, in the nostrils of God. That was the goal. So each spice and each fragrance was selected. It was examined with great, you know, detail. It was looked at. It was smelled. It was handled. It was made sure that they made sure that the oil that was being presented as the anointing oil was pure. Okay, the incense had to be pure. That was a mandate repeated in Scripture. In Exodus 30, he talks about there would be pure frankincense, that there would be psalter that would be pure and holy. Exodus 37, he says that they're pure, fragrant incense. And then in Leviticus chapter 24, he says the pure incense as a memorial. So the fragrance of the ignited incense would ascend into the heavens, as it were, because of the fire that would create that oil to burn, and then the smoke, the plume that would come off of that would then have a fragrant a fragrance to it that would rise into the heavens. So that fragrance ignited the incense that ascended into the heavens, and that is in essence what our prayers do today. And so these bowls of incense are the Bible talks about the golden bowls of incense that are the prayers of the saints in Revelations 5 and 8. He says that is the prayers of the saints. Those are the prayers of the saints that have risen into the heavens. And so since our prayers are compared to incense, and incense are supposed to be pure, then likewise, so should our prayers be. Now, it doesn't mean that let me make sure I make this statement correctly. I do not believe for one second that you or I are capable of producing holiness or purity or righteousness on a divine level, because we are not divine. However, coming from a scarred, a sin-stained person, an individual whose my sins have been washed away, I've been made white as snow, right? All of those things, we understand that. That's a different perspective on this, or a different part of this conversation. But even though I have been cleansed, even though I have been washed, I have been washed in the blood, I have been sanctified, I have been filled with the Spirit, and all of these things, I myself am not capable of producing purity. But while I can't produce purity on my own accord, I can endeavor to make sure that my prayer is pure. And it's not pure because it's coming from me. It's pure because I want to give it to Him. It's pure because I'm doing everything in my, and we're going to talk about how to purify our prayers here in a minute. But I think that oftentimes we fail to pray, to reference this again, we fail to pray because we're afraid that we don't know how to pray. But in failing to pray, what we are doing is, in essence, we are declaring that we don't need the Lord. Prayerlessness is a declaration of independence from God. A prayerless life is, in essence, July the 4th of the soul of man. That we are declaring our independence from God. However, prayerfulness, a life that is filled with prayer, is a declaration of dependence on God. And I for one, feel like that we need to make sure that we're spending enough time in our daily lives that we are becoming a praying person as opposed to a person that prays. And so, spending time in prayer doesn't necessarily mean that your prayers have become pure. Okay, just because you do it doesn't mean that it is becoming pure. And so we're gonna get into that here in a minute. You remember the old song, the phrase of the old song, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." I've used this story before, and I'm going to use it again this morning just because it's one of my absolute favorites. That Zig Ziglar tells the story of the little guy who is valiantly but futilely trying to move a massive log to clear a pathway to his favorite hideout. He is trying his best. He knows that he's got to get this log out of the way because he wants to get his cart back to this little, you know, hideout of his. And so he tugs and he tugs, and despite his best of efforts, he is unable to budge this log. His dad is standing nearby, and his dad looks at him, and he asks him, he says, have you used all of your strength? And the boy assures his father, he says, Dad, I have used every ounce of my strength that I have. I have pushed on it with my hands. I have laid on the ground, pushed it with my feet. I have put my back against it. I have pushed with my legs. I can't budge this log. And the dad quietly said, Son, you have not used all of your strength. To which the boy would have argued, Yes, Dad, I have used all of my strength. And the dad says, No, you haven't used all of your strength because you didn't ask me. I want us to understand this morning that when we are weak and when we are struggling against the obstacles of life and we keep trying to move it ourselves, we're not utilizing all of the strength that we've been given. And the strength that we've been given is that of prayer, asking our Heavenly Father to assist us. Because through prayer, we are sharing the load, if you will, with our praying brothers and sisters. I'm going to have to read the entire thing this morning just because I feel like that it bears hearing. And it's an excerpt from writings of Adelaide Pollard. And there is a word that conquers, basically, is the gist of it. There is a word that conquers. It turns captivity captive. It unites the far-flung sinners about the mercy seat. It brings man's storm-driven ship into the heavens of safety and peace. It turns back the shadow of death on the face of life's dial. It gives songs in the night and lifts the load of guilt from the conscience-struck heart. It puts a sword in the hand of it to the face of temptation. It strengthens the soul in the hour of Gethsemane. It's us up when we are all fallen. It lifts us up when we are all fallen. It brings angels down from heaven to minister to us. It is the best physician for the soul and the body. It is a word, it sets captives free. It's a word that conquers all. It sets a lamp of forgiveness in the window for every prodigal. It makes angels rejoice. It is the watchword of the gate. It is the word that conquers everything and everyone, even God Himself. The question is, what is the word? And the answer is, the word and the action is prayer. You say, prayer conquers God? That's kind of a bold statement. Now, I understand that, but yet God invites us to conquer His silence through prayer. And I made this statement maybe last week, I don't remember exactly when it was, but oftentimes our prayer and our faith must outlast the silence of God. And sometimes that feels like an eternity. But Abraham prayed, and God spared Lot. Let's just look at a few accounts of Scripture. Jacob prayed, and God changed him, changed his name. The Syrophoenician woman prayed, and the Lord answered the door. Elijah prayed, and God rained down fire. Elisha prayed, and life came back into the dead child. Manasseh, in his distress, prayed, and God answered his prayers. Samson prayed, and God answered him yet again. Daniel prayed and Gabriel came to him. Cornelius prayed and the angel brought Simon Peter to him. Paul and Silas prayed and the jail doors were opened up. Stephen prayed and the heavens were opened. Time and time and time again throughout Scripture, we find these things. Job prayed. Well, he prayed despite his circumstances and his difficulties. And as surely as the offerings in the Old Testament were to be pure and without blemish, Job said, my prayers are pure. My prayer is pure. Now, I'm going to use a word here that's going to kind of give away the crux of the whole lesson this morning. My motives are pure. David asked that his words would be And his thoughts would be acceptable in the sight of God. Actually, I think he says, my thoughts and my words and my thoughts, that they may be acceptable in the sight of God. So for our lives, for our words, and our actions, our prayer, and maybe our, even our, yes, our prayers to God, I want them to be acceptable in the sight of God. I want the words of my mouth. I want the words of my mouth to be acceptable in the eyes of God. I want the words in this life. I want my words in this life to be pure. I want them to be acceptable. Most of all, I want my words to be to God to be pure and acceptable. I stumbled across an idea, a thought here recently, and I've used it a few times here of late. He requires us to be good stewards. The Lord requires of us to be good stewards, and I think that that extends far beyond finances. I believe that it extends into your time, into your treasure, into your talents. I believe all, you know, your time, your talent, your treasure, he wants you to be a good steward of those things. However, I think that it extends even further than that. I believe that the Lord desires us to be good stewards of our words as well. That, to line up with what David would say then, I want the words of my mouth to be acceptable in his sight. But let's be practical. Prayer is the paradox. There's that phrase again. Prayer is a paradox in the fact that it's easy to pray when life is hard, and it's hard to pray when life is good. But unhindered prayer is what causes it to become a pure prayer. How do I make my prayer pure? Brandon, you make your prayer, we make our prayers pure by making an effort to not hinder our prayer time. And so there are a few obstacles that we're going to point out today as we try and conclude this morning's devotion. There's the obstacle of time. You have to make time to pray. This is how you purify time. It becomes something that you prioritize. How does your prayer become pure? It becomes pure by becoming a priority. Then there's the obstacle of the place. As challenging as it is to find the time to pray, oftentimes it's even more difficult to find the place to pray. I love to pray alone. Like I just do. I mean, don't get me wrong. I enjoy corporate prayer. We've talked about that already this month. I enjoy corporate prayer. I enjoy going to the prayer meeting. We'll go tonight at 6:30. We will be at the church from 6:30 to 7:30. The doors are open. If you're here local and you want to join us for prayer, by all means, please join us for prayer. But finding that place is equally as important as making the time. And sometimes finding the place is difficult to do. I remember my wife trying to pray when the kids were little. And I came into the living room one morning, and Aiden was probably, I don't know, maybe 3 years old, maybe four. And my wife is leaning, she's knelt over on the couch, or the time we had a chair, what we called the chair and a half. It was like just this massive chair that was almost as big as a love seat and had a footstool, an ottoman in front of it. And my wife was knelt down in front of, I think, on the ottoman, if I remember right. And I walk into the living room that morning, and she's praying. And Aiden is sitting on her back like a little horse, like she's a horse and he's a cowboy. You know, he's just kind of sitting there. Sometimes it's hard to get those places to where you can pray. And so there's the obstacle of the place. Then there's the obstacle of fatigue. Tiredness is ever increasing in our world. If I've said it once, I've said it a million times in the last couple of years, I'm just exhausted. Like, I am toast. I'm done. Stick a fork in. We're all tired. And it's our culture. It is our culture in a 24/7 connected world. It's our culture. right? So then there's that obstacle. There's the obstacle of the undisciplined mind, or maybe I could say the preoccupied mind. It's impossible to keep random thoughts from flowing through your mind. I understand that. Yet we need to discipline our minds in such a way that when we get our hearts set and turned toward God, that our human nature begins to lessen, and we can begin to work and call and pray and work in the Spirit, less encumbered by our carnal mind. So we have to practice discipline. And so that's why a lot of times, would encourage fasting. You're practicing a discipline. But the last, one of the last ones is that we have to get past is the obstacle of our emotions. The obstacle of our emotions, because feelings will get you in trouble. Because if you wait to pray, if you wait until you feel like praying, you'll never pray. If you just wait until you feel like, okay, now I feel like going and talking to the Lord. Now I really feel like, I just felt like praying today. Most of the time, you're not going to feel like it. Let's just be honest. Most of the time, we are not going to feel like praying. So get past your emotions. Get past your personal feelings. So we have to make time to pray. We have to find the place to pray. We have to pray with pure motives. We're not praying that God would condemn someone. No, we're not. We're not praying hoping that, God, would you just... David tried it, didn't he? David tried it when he said, go take those enemies, go take those heathens out. Praying with pure motives. I don't think those are pure motives. So that is, in essence, what makes our prayer pure, is that we make it a priority and that we give it a destination and that our motivation is right. That we are praying with the intent of growing closer to God. We're not praying with the intent of getting God to do something for us. Because again, and I make the reference again, we're coming to that point that we pray with an end in mind. But to God, prayer was in fact the point all along. So this morning, I want us to stop and take a moment and say, God, I want to make sure that my prayer is pure. I want to make sure that my intentions are right. I want to make sure that I have set aside the time. I want to make sure that I have found the place. I want to make sure that my motives are pure. And I want to spend time seeking your face. For the sake of your soul, ladies and gentlemen, please, please, don't not pray because you think your prayers are not good enough, because you think your prayers can't be pure. I want to encourage somebody this morning, if you'll just make the time to pray, if you will set aside the space to pray, and if you will pray with pure motives, then you have, in essence, created a purified prayer. So let's do that today. What do you say? Let's continue to make prayer a priority. The time, the place, and the motive is what determines if it's pure. I want us to pray again this morning as we get ready to go our separate ways. I hope you have a great day and that the presence of God will go with you. But I want us to pray that God would help us to maintain a pure prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your love and for your mercy. You're so good to us, Lord. We're so appreciative of your love and your mercy. You have been better to us than we deserve. And for that, we say thank you. For that, we are absolutely and completely, eternally grateful for. I pray today, Lord, that you would help us to establish prayer as a priority in all of our lives. I pray that it would become something that is a non-negotiable. I pray that it would become something that we absolutely are committed to. The time to pray, making the time to pray, and developing and discovering the place that we go and spend time with you, that secret place that we've so often talked about this month. And I pray, God, that you help our motives be pure. And I thank you for it. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Go with us. Keep your hand on us today. Amen. Guys, I love y'all. It's good to see y'all on here every morning. I hope and pray that you have a great day. May the presence and the favor of God go with you. And until tomorrow morning, day 17, we're getting close to the end of this thing. Day 17, 21 days of growth. So we will see y'all right back here tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. But until then, be humble and be kind. I love y'all. Have a great day.